WRX. This is the Moth Radio Hour. I'm Jay Ellison. This time, stories that answer the seemingly optimistic question, what could go wrong? Dame Wilburn tells our first story. We first met Dame at our open mic Story Slams in Detroit, and since that time, she has told lots of stories and has become a regular host at our Story Slam and main stage events around the country. This is her first main stage story, told at the Michigan Theater and presented by the Ann Arbor Summer Festival. Here's Dame Wilburn, live at the Moth.
So my friend and I are driving around Detroit looking for something to do. And this is a problem because my friend Mark is the kind of person who will say to you, if you get a tattoo, I'll pay for it. So that means all kinds of things could possibly happen right now. And while we're driving, we are on 8 Mile and Gratiot. Those of you who live near Detroit, know the sound. Yes, exactly. And we come across a gypsy fortune teller. And we decide, why not? So we go in the gypsy fortune teller, and the gypsy comes out and looks at the two of us and says, you go first. So she points to Mark, and Mark goes first. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to figure out, well, I should probably have a question. You know, I don't want, like, random information about my life. I don't live the kind of life where I want to know what's going to happen. It's probably best that that just sneaks up on me. So, because the stuff so far has been out of control. So I'm sitting there, and I think, well, really, the only question I have is, am I ever going to find love? Because right now, I'm 28 years old and I'm not in a relationship. I lost my virginity at 26. And yeah, because you should sigh at that, because Mormons lose it at 20. Okay, so I'm actually destroying the sex bell curve for everybody. So, but sitting there, I'm like, well, you know, if you're gonna do this, you probably should be honest. Okay. So I'm not really trying to figure out if I'm ever going to find love. That's a really broad thing. I'm trying to figure out, the question I have is, will Mark ever fall in love with me? Because let's face it, I'm hanging out with him because of that. But anyhow, Mark comes out of the door, and the gypsy says, okay, you're next. And I stand up, and as I'm walking towards the door, she locks me in a gaze and says, you're cursed. You're cursed. This is, you're cursed to never find love. You're cursed. This is the worst curse I have ever, your whole family's cursed. This is generational. This, I've never seen a, I haven't gotten in the room yet. I've never seen a curse like this in my life. I get in the room. She, still, I am floored by the level of curse that's hanging on you. And no cards have moved. No cards have moved. And I'm standing there, and I gotta tell you, I'm pretty excited about this because all these years I thought it was me. I thought, you know, it's like, I'm 28, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 26. I thought I was too loud, too fat, too black, too whatever. But if I'm just cursed, hallelujah, yes, that means we can fix it, you know? I am obviously a problem in search of a solution. All right, here we go. So she starts to talk to me. She's taking the cards down, and as the cards go down, if anything, the curse is going further back and getting worse. Like, it's, so every card that goes down, she's just confirming what she's already said. So she looks at me and she says, okay, you're uber cursed, and I can fix it. And I'm like, yes. And she says, we're going to get some candles together. I'm going to light some incense. I'm going to say some prayers. Nice. I like how you're thinking. And she just starts to list all this stuff off. And she says, and I can do all of this for you, but it's going to cost you $5,000. Okay, now I'm mad. Okay, because I'm from Detroit, and you are trying to hustle a hustler. All right? We do this game in the D every day. And you think that I'm gonna give you $5,000 to lift a curse, I'm gonna get right on that. Top of my list of things to do next. So We pay the gypsy fortune teller and we leave. And as we're driving away, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but, you know, like 26, you might really be cursed, you know? But I don't have $5,000. So I'm thinking all of this through. And it dawns on me, well, the only way I can lift this curse is I'm gonna have to do it myself. And the only way to do it myself is I'm gonna have to become a witch. Nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. What are my options? What are my options? If you can't afford a doctor, you have to become a doctor. What's your option? If people could afford doctors, WebMD wouldn't exist. What's your option? Right. So I'm like, fine, I'll become a witch. Now, here's the thing about me. I don't think that smart people are smarter than me. I think they read a book I didn't read. So, this whole thing has got to be in a book, right? It's got to be in a book. So I start trying to find information, and the first place you go is online, right? So I've got the internet, I've got the Google, right? So I'm typing in witchcraft, hex breaking, all of that. And all this information is coming back, but I don't understand it. I can't seem to wrap my brain around how this works. So I flash back to college. And in college, if you don't know something, you take a class, right? You take a course. So I'm saying to myself, well, obviously, I just need to find, like, a witchcraft class. Like, so how, I'm in Michigan, how hard could that be? So I'm driving around one day after work, and this commercial comes on, and it says, metaphysical bookstore, classes, Wicca 101 classes, and I'm like, perfect, but I don't have a pen, I can't write it down, so I drive over to the building to sign up for Wicca 101. For those of you who are familiar with the hero's journey, there is always an obstacle. I'd like to describe to you my first obstacle. So I walk in the bookstore, and sitting at the counter in this metaphysical bookstore is what I really can only describe him as Satan's valet. All right? This guy has jet black hair that goes from the top of his head to the back of his knees, except for an inch of hair from the part here, which is silver. Apparently, magicians can't use hair dye. So he is wearing Benjamin Franklin sunglasses. He is wearing what I will refer to as the theory of a sweater, because there really wasn't enough yarn in it to be a sweater, but he thinks it's a sweater, and I'm in no position to argue that. And this is my favorite touch to everything about him, he is drinking what I will later discover is cognac out of a Hogwarts mug. Now, my family is Baptist, right? Not up here Baptist, where people get out of church in less than 8 hours, but like Georgia Baptist, like every day in church Baptist, right? So I look at this guy, and all I can hear are my uncles, who are all preachers, beginning with, the wages of sin is death. That is death before you. And I'm like, this is true. Okay, and this guy scares the hell out of me, and I'm gonna leave, and then the voice in my head says, you were 26, and you don't have $5,000, and I'm not waiting another 26 years. All right, well, there you go, motivation. So I get to the counter, I say I wanna sign up for the Wicca 101 classes, he runs off, grabs a pen, signs me up, and I start taking these classes. I ask him, you know, hey, is there a book I'm supposed to read or anything? And he sort of recommends a few, few books. Most of them are arcane knowledge that to this day I don't understand. But one book sticks out. And I began to hang out with the community, and I began to do spell work, right? So the purpose of Wicca, if for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure that's probably all of you, The purpose of Wicca is to know thyself. So it's not really about doing magic to change this out here. It's about changing you. That's the purpose. So instead of doing all this magic to make the world accept me, I start doing the work to accept myself. And I'm doing spell work for that. And one of the pieces of spell work I do is to be open to love in all of its forms. No matter what form it shows up in, just be open, right? So it just so happens that as I'm working with the community, the author of the book that finally made me understand Wicca is doing a fundraiser, right? Pagans have fundraisers, okay? Churches have fundraisers. Guys who golf have fundraisers. We have fundraisers. There is a difference between, you know, like a fundraiser, you know, I don't know, here in Ann Arbor where people have money, and a pagan fundraiser in Downriver, Michigan. Probably the thing that you need to know is that nobody in this room at this fundraiser has any money, but you don't know that because they're all dressed like Gandalf the Grey. They're wearing so much stuff that you're like, well, obviously you have some cash to buy that. That tree you're walking around with alone has got to be like $100. Also, these are all my friends. I love them. Some of them are here tonight, but they're not the most financially savvy folks in the world. But these are the kind of people who won't pay a gas bill because they need a new hat. So fundraisers can be challenging in the pagan world. But I'm at this fundraiser, and I'm sitting at a table, and I look out, and this woman is walking across the room, and all the lights seem to go out, and all the people in the room seem to disappear, and all I can see is her. Now, this could have been a romantic moment, except that voice in the back of my head says, you're black, you're a woman, you're a pagan. Are you sure you're going to just add lesbian to that list? Like, you know, like, this isn't, you know, like, this isn't Pokemon. You ain't got to catch them all, you know? But I keep looking at her and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm probably going to have to add lesbian to that list. And I'm also thinking, this conversation with my mother is going to top the pagan conversation by a country mile. Easy, easy. So this incredible woman sits down next to me and starts flirting with me, which I'm shocked by. I flirt back. Bell curve, I'm super shocked by that. My flirting is working. I'm terrified by that. And the whole time that I'm sort of talking to her, but trying to talk myself out of talking to her, the spell work that I've been doing pops up. And the spell work was be open to love in all its forms. So you might as well be open. So 10 years later, I'm not to anything. I am married to that woman that walked across the room. At no point did it cost me $5,000. And believe me when I tell you, I can lift one hell of a curse. Thank you.
That was Dame Wilburn. Dame is a storyteller and artist. She is a host of the Moth Podcast and multiple Moth Grand Slam winner. Dame is also chief marketing director for Twisted Willow Soap Company. When we asked her to be part of this fundraising hour, she said, "I am honored to be of any assistance in raising funds for public radio. That's how I found my calling in life and found The Moth." The Moth Radio Hour is produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and presented by PRX. The Moth, as you know, is a nonprofit organization that brings people together through storytelling. In good times and in tough times, like now, we partner with public radio stations because we know that public radio listeners have generous, open minds and hearts. We support public radio and hope you will too, especially these days. Here's how.